The Bible is a very popular book that is, unfortunately, misunderstood many times. And I think it's because too many times people get down into the details and miss the big picture. So when you step back, take time to grasp that big picture of the Bible. The Bible is an incredible book. In fact, it's a book of 66 books with over 40 different authors that was written over a time period of 1,500 years. What is amazing about that is that there is one major theme running throughout that. And I submit to you that 40 different men coming from multiple different countries, multiple continents, and over 1,500 years, which spans six major dynasties of this earth, that it is impossible that 40 different men could have written on the same theme without the direct influence of God. This major theme that's in the Bible is God's plan of redemption. It was anchored in the Old Testament writings and fulfilled in the New Testament writings. The New Testament literally means the gospel, the New Testament is also called the gospel, which is literally translated the good news. So we must consider and comprehend the importance of that gospel message. So when you think about your life, and somehow you knew that your life was going to come to an end next week, you knew that it was going to come to an end next week, what would you spend your last moments on this earth doing? Would you be catching up on your TV shows? You know, saying, you know, I really wanted to watch Star Trek, you know, and I want to catch all those. So you sit down and you just start watching it. Is that really what you're going to do for the last moments of your life? You're going to do something important, aren't you? You're going to go spend time with your family. You're going to make sure that they've got something so that when you pass, that they're going to be taken care of. You're going to do the things that are most important to you. So let's think about Jesus. What did Jesus do in His last moments on this earth, during that time before His life was going to come to an end, at the very end? Mark 16:15 captured some of His words. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He wants the good news told to everyone. That's what Jesus did with His last time on this earth. Now the gospel, as Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." So when you think about what is that saying? The way to get salvation is through the gospel. You know, it's not a way, it is the way to salvation. The power of God is held in the gospel for salvation. Here again, there's a few things that this is also saying by not saying other things. It's not saying that the power to salvation is through the sword. You will do what I say or I will cut your head off. That is not the gospel. It is also not saying that God is going to force you to be saved. No, the power of salvation is through the gospel. It's from God. And the gospel, because in it holds the power of salvation, when you think about what does that mean, it means that the gospel holds objective truth. If we're looking for truth, we need to turn to the gospel. The gospel also has another side to it. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8, picking up in the reading there, when the Lord Jesus was revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. The gospel has the power to bring about salvation, but it also condemns. It'll bring vengeance for those who do not obey it. Now, there's something else about the gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 makes a powerful point about the gospel. Here, Paul, writing to the Galatians, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." This is a very powerful passage. Understanding what this means is critical to so many of the issues that we as Christians face today. Think about who Paul was writing to. Was he writing to a bunch of rebellious people who hated God? No, he was writing to Christians. These Christians were sincere in their beliefs. They were well-intentioned, but they had added something to how to follow God. And if you read through the book of Galatians, you can understand that it was from the Judaizing teachers. They were teaching the traditions of the Jews. And when you look back at these traditions, they were pretty nothing. I mean, you know, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. You know, what is circumcision? Paul says later, it's nothing. But yet they were changing the gospel because they said, you must do this in order to be saved. That small little change. I mean, look at it. I mean, it's not that big. That's a small change. What does Paul say? It's a different gospel. You deserted Jesus Christ. You're distorting the gospel of Christ. You are changing the good news. You changed it. You're deserting Him. You are to be accursed for doing that. So let's think about some of the truths that non-ecumenical truths. I had to look that word up. Ecumenical. That is the idea that everybody's coming together under the banner of Christ. No matter what you believe, as long as you're coming under the banner of Christ, it's good. That's the idea of ecumenical. So today we have many churches. Each one of those churches is based off of a different gospel. Different method of salvation. And this is not evidence that the Bible is incomprehensible. This is not evidence that Christianity has failed. It is rather evidence that we have failed Christ. That's the first point. Second point, sincere believers or churches can follow a different gospel. Just like the Galatians, they were sincere. They were a group of people coming together to serve God, but they were wrong. Another point, considerable knowledge, education, or influence can teach a different gospel. Just like apostles or angels are called out here, they're not to be accepted. Just because you are highly educated does not mean that you are incapable of teaching a different gospel. Jesus talks about some people who maybe were following different gospels, even while He was still alive. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So many of our denominational friends can say these things, that they did these great things in the name of Jesus Christ. But He will say, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." There's a very simple reason. They're practicing a different gospel. Individuals must discern the gospel for themselves. You can't just simply come and sit and listen and say, well, that's a preacher, he's educated, he's trustworthy, you know, he has a good reputation, so I'm going to do what he says. You have to discern the gospel for yourself. Just an interesting fact. The U.S. Treasury, they have a lot of people that go out looking for forged, fake money. We'll use that word. They go out and look for counterfeit, thank you, counterfeit bills. And so what do? How do they know what is a counterfeit? Well, it's very simple. They take the true and they study it detail for detail for detail so that they know every single thing about the true money. They understand it exactly. So that when they're presented with a counterfeit, they can say, not the truth, because here is an error. Not the truth, because it doesn't feel right. Not the truth, because of this or because of that. We need to be the same with the gospel. We need to study the gospel so much that when something comes across our plate or across in a conversation, be like, you know, that doesn't line up with the truth. Let's discuss that. You know, the gospel is God's. No tampering allowed. So what would Paul say if he were here today preaching? Would Paul say, just believe in Jesus. Just believe. The Galatians believed. They were followers of God. And yet, they're being told that they were wrong. The demons believed. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You know, following the one true gospel is critical to salvation. Following a false doctrine, despite sincerity of your belief, despite fame of the teacher, despite the education that either you or the teacher has, and despite what church you attend, will not save you if you are following a different doctrine. It will rather lead to condemnation. Look in Galatians 1:6-9 again, summarizing it. Change the gospel equals being accursed. You know, just thinking back on these verses, looking at Mark 16:15, Jesus' last thoughts were the gospel. Romans 1:16, obeying the gospel equals salvation. And 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8, do not obey the gospel equals vengeance from God. We need to obey the true, unadulterated, unchanged gospel. If you are ready today to respond to the gospel call, come forward as we stand and as we sing.